Howdy. You're listening to the Texas A&M RUF podcast. Hope you enjoyed the talk.
Welcome to RUF. My name is Austin McCann. I'm the RUF campus minister here. I just want to say this. If this is your first time to RUF, we're really glad you're here. We really do believe this, that you're never so good that you stand outside the need of God's grace, while at the same time, you are never so bad that you stand outside the reach of his grace. And RUF exists for the convinced, whether you have known Jesus your entire life and you're very familiar with the church, RUF is for you. Or whether you are very skeptical of the truth claims of Christianity, whether you really have a lot of questions about the Bible and who Jesus is, RUF exists for you as well. We want you to bring your questions. We want you to bring friends who are skeptical of the truth. So RUF exists for both. So we're really glad you're here. If you've been with us, we've been walking through the Old Testament books of 1 and 2 Samuel, studying the life of this man and this king named David. And tonight we come to 2 Samuel chapter 12, and I'm going to read the passage for us, but tonight we have a special guest who's preaching for us tonight. This is Senior Pastor Wade Coleman, who is pastor at Westminster Presbyterian Church over here in Bryan, and he has really, he's been here forever, what, over 25 years, right?
Just 20.
20 years. Let's call it 25. But Wade has been so faithful. He loves RUF, and go talk to him. He has a lot of wisdom. He loves Jesus. He's been walking with Jesus a very long time. Mary and his wife is also here with us. We love her as well. And so, yeah, get to know them. They're wonderful. We're glad they're here tonight preaching for us. So, Wade, thanks for being here. I'm going to read our passage for us. So, if you have a Bible, feel free to open up to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Feel free to look at the table of contents. That is not a sin. It's also up here behind me on the screen. So it's going to be 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 15. This is God's word. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. And he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. And he brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. And he used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. And I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord has also put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly sworn the Lord, the child who is born to you shall die." Then Nathan went to his house. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but your word alone remains forever. Father, tonight would you be with Wade as he preaches? Lord, clearly communicating your gospel, that we'd all keep our eyes on Jesus this evening, that we'd see him afresh, or that you would convince convict us where we need to be convicted, that we quickly turn to repentance, feeling the contriteness of our own hearts, seeing our sin for what it is, but turning our hearts to your Son Jesus and trusting in his forgiveness that he offers only by the blood that he shed for us through his life, death, and resurrection. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Howdy, Axe.
Howdy!
Good to be with y'all. Thanks for coming out. It's always a joy to come and be with y'all. And I love it that I get to do this passage tonight.
Turn the mic.
Oh, turn it on. I thought it was on. Here it goes. You ready? Let's see. You got me now? How about that?
There we go.
Now you hear me? All right, all right, all right, all right. All right, here we go. So, I love this passage. Delighted to be here with you this evening. And this passage is one that's hard hitting, isn't it? It's one that that hits us where we live. And it's one that we need to hear because repentance is a big part of life, but it's one that we often run from. And I love it because God pursues us here. And this is what I want you to see this evening. One of the things I love in the gospel is how God pursues us so that we will repent. And you see that here in this text. Augustine, the great Saint Augustine, said this: God leads us to eternal life, not by our merits, but according to his mercy. Not by our merits, but according to his mercy. I don't know about you, but I prefer to prove myself rather than to rest in the mercy of God. And that's always a challenge, isn't it? Have you ever been called out? Have you ever been rebuked? You like being rebuked publicly? You ever been rebuked publicly? I remember growing up, I always knew when I was in trouble, because my name is Wade Coleman, I always knew when I was in trouble when the middle name got inserted. My middle name is Francis. I know, you can laugh, it's okay. People have laughed at me all my life for Francis. And so when my mom was upset with me, she would always say, "Wade Francis Coleman." That's when I knew I was in trouble. Wade Francis Coleman. So if you really want to get my attention, just call me Francis. It might be fighting words, but when my mom wanted my attention, or when I was in trouble, that's what would happen. It was usually followed by some charge, some condemnation, some rebuke. No one likes to be rebuked. You like being called out? Well, in this passage, David gets called out in a radical way, doesn't he? I don't know if you could spend a moment with me. Can you remember the time that was the most painful when you were called out, but that calling out did you the most good? I can remember one time I was in college. As a matter of fact, I was a senior in college. In college, my senior year, I was the captain of the soccer team, little school I went to. It was something like Texas A&M University. It was not much different. My wife's laughing up here. There was about 550 students in the college that I went to. So when I say it was like Texas A&M University, it was like one class at Texas A&M University. But there were about 550 students. So pretty much if anything happened on our campus, everybody knew about it. And so there was one time when I got called out. You see, there was an evening where I was studying with a friend. We had been friends for quite a while, and just, I don't even know the reason, but as I was studying with this friend this particular evening, we were studying, I reached over and I kissed her. Now, I'm sure you can't understand how that could happen, but we've been friends for about, I don't know, for some time. We've been studying together. We were good friends. I reached over and kissed her, but about that time, Big Al, he was the center for our basketball team, he walked in, and that made it quite awkward. And so we didn't talk about it. The rest of the evening, we didn't talk about that kiss. And then the next day, I didn't talk to her. And the next day, I didn't talk to her. And then people on campus weren't very happy with me. Now, I was captain of the soccer team. I was actually the vice president of the student body. But this young lady, she was the darling of the campus. Her roommate was not happy. Her twin sister was not happy. And the discussion about me was not going very well. As a matter of fact, the soccer coach, his wife was named Angie. Angie told him about this particular story. And one day we were on the soccer field, and the coach was telling us about certain things. And he began into this, it was usually a pep talk about, getting us ready for the beginnings of a new game and a new series about how we were going to run our offense or our defense. And I was a starting goalkeeper, and we were going to do something. But he just sat us down. He said, I really need to have a talk with you guys. I really want to talk to you men about how you treat women. And I'm sitting right here. And the whole diatribe was directed at me. And it was a challenge. And I was called out. And to say that I was a little defensive and a little, ashamed. Let's just say that. And I felt like running away. You ever felt rebuked? Well, here we are in this text. And it's interesting here, isn't it? David is the man in Israel. And God wants to get his attention. It's interesting here. God doesn't take the front-on approach, does he? God actually comes in the side door here. And I want you to see that God actually illustrates before he indicts so that he can illuminate the need for repentance and forgiveness in this text. And I want you to see that there's a picture here for us in our need to have repentant hearts, but God has a way of getting our attention. And this is very instructive for us. It's very instructive for us this evening because God, in his grace, desires to catch us, confront us, and convict us of sin so that we will repent. One of the things I want you to see this evening is when God reveals our sin, he's actually doing us the greatest service so that he can show us his mercy. And I want you to see that first in the illustration of sin's callousness. Notice that here in verses 1 through 5. In 1 through 5, notice there, and the Lord sent Nathan to David. Notice Nathan was the prophet, and Nathan comes to David, and he tells David a story. But I want you to notice there, the Lord sent Nathan. Now, if you were here last week, one of the things you know is that David went in with Bathsheba, and one of the things that happens in the text again and again in 2 Samuel chapter 11 is what? David is the one who keeps doing the sinning. As a matter of fact, 12 times, if you go back a little later and you read 2 Samuel 11, what you'll see is that all the action is being promoted by David. He's the one that keeps sinning, isn't he? It's David who's acting. He's the one who sins for Bathsheba. He's the one who sins for Uriah. He's the one who seems to keep sending. 12 times in the text, it is David who is promoting the sending. He acts. He's sending. One time in chapter 12 here, God sends. God sends Nathan. But it's very important. It's very important because here in the text, God sends Nathan to David, and he tells David a story. Nathan tells David a story. And it's a story to get his attention, isn't it? It's a story about a man, a rich man, and a poor man. A man with a big old flock, and a man with one lamb. The rich man takes the poor man's lamb, and he doesn't want to waste his lamb, so he has a visitor, so he kills the poor man's flock, or the poor man's lamb, and uses it as his dinner for the guest. And at that moment, what happens? David is incensed. And the beauty of this text is that God comes through the straight door. He is setting the record straight, isn't it? Notice in the description, verses 2 and 3, there's a story about the rich man and how he mistreats that poor man. There's the deed, taking of the poor man's beloved ewe lamb, who's like a child to him. And then in verse 5, there's this picture of David's disappointment. There's his disappointment at what this guy's done. And you get this illustration. It's like coming through the side door, isn't it? David's upset. David's the judge of Israel. He's the king of Israel, but he's also the judge of Israel. He can't believe what this guy's done. This isn't fair. This isn't right. He should have to return fourfold. He's furious. No way this could happen. David's ready to exact some justice on the head of this guy. This is masterful, isn't it? Nathan's story is masterful. Now, I love this sometimes, and some of my kids are in the room, they'll recognize this. When they were younger, when they would have little tiffs with each other, maybe you recognize this in your parents, when they would have little tiffs with each other or take each other's toys or take each other's things that they would want, sometimes I would just say, well, let me have that. I think I'll just take that and I'll keep that for a while. And what would they say? They'd be like, no, Dad, that's mine. I think I'll just hold on to it for a little while. No, that's not all right. I would just be making that point, the point that Nathan's making here. The point that, that's not cool if you hold on to what's mine. David's making that point. He's illustrating a point, and David takes it hook, line, and sinker, doesn't he? God is coming in through the side door. Now, my coach, he wasn't coming through the side door, was he? He was just looking at me and saying, Wade, you're an idiot. That approach works sometimes too. But this approach for a king was necessary because he wanted to illustrate the need for repentance and mercy. And here's what I want you to see is that sometimes God will take the back door, but when he takes the back door, he wants to bring softness into the hardness of your hearts. The truth is, when sin has us, most of the time what we want to do is hide. You can be here at RUF tonight and be the loneliest person in the room. You can look like you're okay, and you can be pushing sin down. And you're the person that God's talking to right now. Because this is what the passage is illustrating, is that all the time God is seeking, he is searching, he is speaking to those of us who hide our sin. The scripture searches the heart. You see, that's what God is doing with David. David wasn't seeing his own sin. It's always easier to see someone else's sin than it is to see your own sin. I got Drew right here. It's easier to see Drew's sin, isn't it? Don't y'all see Drew's sin easier than you see your own sin?
Oh, yes.
How many of y'all see Drew's sin easier than you see your own? I'm surprised. I would have thought more of y'all. Jacob sees Drew's sin easier than Drew sees Drew's sin. Come on. Really, that's it? They got your back, Drew. I see your sin easier than you see your sin, right? But it's much easier to see Drew's sin than it is to see my sin. The truth is, we're always easier on ourselves than we are on others, aren't we? Let's be honest with ourselves. Can we just stop and be honest with ourselves? We're a little more defensive for ourselves than we are another. And here's the point. David is ready to go all in on the other, isn't he? This dude, man, he is wrong. This dude, he needs to pay it back fourfold. This dude, it makes David furious. The illustration, it gets in David's bones. But it's about to drop, isn't it? The answer is about to drop. It's not only an illustration of the callousness of sin. Notice, as we go on here, it's the indictment of sin's blindness. See, in the second place here in verses 5 through 12, that God is uncovering the sin of David's heart. You can hide sin from everyone around you, but you can't hide your sin from God. Notice in verses 5 through 12 here, what we see is that God knows David's sin, Nathan knows David's sin, and David knows David's sin, and that's what's being uncovered here. And as a matter of fact, you see this indictment, don't you? You see the indictment, and the indictment is being uncovered. First of all, David uncovers it. David uncovers himself, doesn't he? When he says there in verse 5, David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he says to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die." Sorry about that. Break up here. I guess I need to tuck in the back of my shirt. Just rub it against it. He deserves to die. And then what do we get from Nathan in verse 7? It's the second indictment. "You are the man." And then Nathan speaks the word of God. He speaks the word of God and tells him all the ways that he has displeased the Lord. He's taken the gifts of God. He's misused the gifts of God. God has paid him king. God has given him the place of his predecessor. God has given him the house of his predecessor. God has given him all these gifts. And what has David done? He has despised the gift of God, verse 9. He has despised God himself, verse 10. And in despising God, he has thrown down the gifts of God, and destroyed Uriah and struck him down. God knows. God knows what he's done. Why? You are the man. Why does God do this? God exposes our sin because he would expunge it. He would put it away. God only does this because he wants us to know the truth of our guilt so that he can answer it. He would answer it. You know, we have a hard time with this because we for years and years, decades and decades, for centuries now, have been in this experiment in our society to try to live in a guiltless society. We don't like to talk about guilt as a society. We want to be a guiltless society. Let's not talk about guilt. But the Bible doesn't answer the question that way. Actually, the Bible does say, own it so that it can be forgiven. At the heart of the truth here is this picture of understanding that God won't be mocked. When God is despised, we must own the truth. It would be like me going to the doctor and the doctor saying to me, you know, "Wait, it's obvious that you have a healthy appetite, and you know, that's the good news. You got a healthy appetite. You know, the bad news is that you're not tall enough for your appetite." You know, it might be best for him to say, you know, "Wait, you could stand to lose 30 pounds. It would be straight on just to say it straight out. That's the kind of thing that the text is doing here. It's saying it straight out. That's what God is doing. Sin is not something that is just out there. It's something that must be owned. And the truth of the text is this, is that you're never so alone than when you're alone in your sin. So don't pretend. You are the man. Now, I told you it's a hard-hitting text. It's a hard-hitting text. David indicts himself. Nathan indicts him. The Lord has indicted him. But here's the beauty of the text. There's the illumination of repentance in the text. Not only is David indicted, but David is illuminated in his heart to receive what the Lord says. Notice there, in verses 13 through 15, as David hears that, David says to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." David says to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord has put away your sin." Now notice, there's no better news than that, is there? The Lord has put away your sin. This is the beauty of the gospel, isn't it? This is why David was the man after God's own heart, because as he hears it, he owns it, and as he owns it, he receives afresh the grace and goodness, the forgiveness of God. I love this picture here, because in owning is the reception of God's mercy and grace, God's goodness. It's not his merits. It's God's mercy that meets him here. That's the good news. You know, there are two psalms that account for us the picture of what's going here. In chapter 32, Psalm 32, you get this picture of David as he's wrestling with his sin. And in verse 3 of that 32, you get this picture as David is landing under the weight of his sin. His bones are almost crushed as he is hiding in his sin. His life withers within him. His bones dry up within him as he's despising the gifts of God. He's folding up on the inside. But that psalm that's often most seen in comparison to this passage, Psalm 51, as he opens himself to the Lord with a contrite and broken heart, that God will not despise. Notice God confronts him here. He has despised the gifts of the Lord. But what will God not despise? In Psalm 51:17, that which he will not despise is a broken and contrite heart. And that's what David has here. That's what he has here in this passage, isn't it? In verse 13, I have sinned against the Lord. That's the heart of repentance. I did it. I'm wrong. And the Lord forgives me. That's the heart we need. It's simply the heart that owns it and comes before the Lord and says, I need you. I'm wrong. Help. Jesus, help. I believe. Help my unbelief. Meet me here. I've blown it. Forgive me. That's where grace begins in the text. It's beautiful, isn't it? Now, there are consequences for the sin. We see it there, don't we? But David is forgiven. He lives. And yet a son dies. Matter of fact, this is not the only son of David that will die. Now, that's the sadness. There's always consequence for sin. As a matter of fact, the greater David... It's the greater David, the David to come, who would have to pay the sin, the death that would pay the sin of David and pay the sin for you and me as well. It was the Son of David who would come, Jesus Emmanuel, the one who would come after, who would be the reason that when we repent, our sins are forgiven too. It's this one who makes a way for our repentance to matter, Jesus himself. And that's our hope, isn't it? That we may repent, that we may own that which is wrong because of the hope of Christ and the forgiveness of God. The Lord sent Nathan to David. It seems harsh, but it's also hopeful. You know that girl that I kissed? It was a hard few days. As a matter of fact, a hard few weeks. A tumultuous few months. But there finally came the time when I owned it. There finally came the time when we worked it through. And if you ask her, she's sitting up here in the front, she'll tell you it was an awful experience. It wasn't a good first kiss. But repentance can make for a good relationship. You can work it through. If you ask her, she'll tell you she wouldn't have started a relationship. But the foundations that begin good relationships are the ones that begin in trust and faith and real faith depending upon God. And those are the ones that we begin to see in David as he begins to walk in faith and richness and dependence upon the Lord. And what I want you to see is it's a moment when David can find the hope that moves from you are the man to the hope that Jesus is my only hope, that comes the life that changes. Repentance is the need that we each have. And it comes when we have the contrite heart that doesn't despise the work of God, that loves the grace that is given to us.
as Augustine said, it is not our merit, but according to his mercy that we live. God leads us to eternal life, not by our merit, but according to his mercy. Don't despise the correction of the Lord, but lean in to the grace that is given in the mercies of Jesus. Let us follow the steps of David, not in his sin, but in the ownership of acknowledgement of sin and resting in the mercies of God. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we ask this evening that you would indeed meet us, those of us who hide our sins. Help us to open our hearts and own it so that we may receive your mercy. And more importantly, receive our Savior, that we may know you, love you, and follow you. In Jesus' name.
We hope that you've enjoyed this episode of the Texas A&M RUF podcast. If you're interested in joining us for a large group, we would love to see you at All Faiths Chapel on the north side of campus across from Sabisa at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. Go ahead and follow at AggieRUF on Instagram for updates about any other events we're putting on. We hope to see you around. Thanks and gig 'em.